Station.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATACP. Live.
Aisha, in the middle of traveling, yo. You at the train station, right? Nizal.
I is. I'm in New York Penn Station. My train is delayed back to the D.C. area, so we'll do our interview right here where I be.
So you are coming from D-Town? Was you in Detroit?
I was in Detroit this weekend. I was in Denver last night. I had a show. And then I came to New York, Niecy Nash. Sister Magazine gave her a party. So I came up to perform for her birthday. So I'm on my way back home now.
Okay, you're getting ready to kick off your heels and lay your head down.
Wonder Woman.
So explain the vagina monologues, which you were in, and me and my wife went to D.C. to check you out.
Yes, big up to T.A.Z. Taz and his wife, Darlene. They came from Atlanta to Washington, D.C. February 16th. We did the vagina monologue with YYP Productions, Yetta Young. And the vagina monologue is basically to stop violence against women and young girls around the world. And we won't stop until the violence stops. That's the monologue. And basically it's real conversations with real women that were interviewed about real vagina talk. And the people that...
Which I love. By the
vagina
way.
Talk. Just don't because ladies tell you got to talk to your vagina. Nobody should know your vagina better than you.
Yeah.
But it's really liberating and self-empowering. You know what I'm saying? It's very powerful. We did all these different monologues about women that were interviewed from all walks of life.
Right.
You know, and I did it in D.C. in February, and I did it this past weekend in Detroit. So the cast, we had a wonderful cast from all genres and backgrounds of entertainment and acting and so forth and so on. And we even bonded. I made wonderful relationships, which I know will blossom to greater relationships. It was just phenomenal. I was asked to do it last year, and I wasn't able to. So she reached back out to me, the executive producer, yet reached back out to me again this year. And I was like, yep, I'm doing it. I don't care, whatever, I'm there. And
right.
Here I am.
I wanted to say you did a great job. I was very impressed. That was my first time. I'd seen it on TV, but never experienced it live, and it was great. It was almost like a full-fledged play and a whole lot of vagina talk, which I love. By the way.
And the thing about it is it's about serious issues, and it's serious stuff, but it has humor too. And, you know, a lot of times we have to put a little humor to get your attention so you can get the message, you know. So that's what's very important. I just had a ball. I'm in the airport. I think I see people and I'm ready to scream, but I have to remember that I'm on the phone.
Because you don't want security ushering you away.
I don't want to be ghetto. I can't believe my train is 40 minutes late. I'm real gangster. Amtrak is doing it.
We got a caller on the line, and I believe this is AC, my partner from work. AC, how you doing? Hey, Queen Aisha, hello.
Queen Aisha, how you doing, sweetie?
Hey, AC, how you doing?
I'm all right.
Thanks for calling.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. You know, I'm going to support me.
That's right, AC. Tell them if nobody calls, we will set up some calls to come in through here.
Yeah, most definitely.
We
get some
people we know on the line.
I heard
how
are
you
that.
Doing tonight?
Going all right. And yourself? I heard you just arrived in where? New York?
I came in. I got into New York at 6:30. I'm on my way out now. I just came for a party.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, how are things on the circuit for you right now?
Oh, everything is wonderful for me. I've been doing comedy, whether you know it or not. I've been doing it for 14 years. But my thing is always how to branch off, I take myself to another level, whether my personal and my professional career, my professional lives, they can complement one another. So with me, I'm doing a vagina monologue. That's just confirmation to me that I'm going in the correct direction that I need to be going in both my personal and my professional lives. So that's a wonderful thing. And I'll be doing a lot more greater things. And I just pride myself. I've been doing this 14 years, and I basically do it by myself. With the only representation is God, me, and my family. So.
Which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I heard her. Wait a minute now. 2 days ago, I was listening to Warren Valentine.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard you on there. I was like, you know, I was driving the mail truck, getting ready to deliver some mail, and they said, we got a Queen Aisha on the line, and I started bowing in the truck.
He's stupid.
I started bowing in the truck. I'm like, fall to your knees, the queen is on.
You just put the truck in pause and just bow down, huh?
Just bow down. I'm at a half bow right now talking to her.
You should be used to bowing. You got a queen.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I love you, darling. I got to put them in every now and then.
That's
happy
right.
home,
that's
happy
right.
home. But
you don't want to get punched in your neck in your basement.
you're into the politics thing now, huh?
Am I?
You had something to say about what was going down with the governor in New York and all.
I joke about it on stage. I mean, my thing is, if you have to spend $80,000 on coochie, then your pimp card is all messed the hell up. Because that means you ain't getting out at home, and your wife definitely don't like your ass. And he messed it up for all the men, whether y'all know it or not. $80,000 on ass. I ain't got $80,000 worth of ass, and I don't know no chick that do.
But hey, you are.
$80,000. Do you understand $80,000? They can feed a couple of countries in Africa. Several.
And that cat was fighting prostitution when he was a child.
Yes, and he wanted to get some type of system with the banks, and they were fussing about it. They didn't want to do it. He crazy. Now, that's the sign of a crazy mother. For real. That's crazy. AC, how much you ever paid for coochie?
Hey, $40.
What was
and that was in Spain.
Was it worth it? He must have been military.
Was it worth it? Yeah, it was worth it at the time. Being that you have been away from home for about 6 weeks, and you know, ain't touched land.
That's a long time, 6 weeks. Wow.
It was well worth it.
You had no choice but $40, cuz. I'm fortunate to say that I ain't paid for nothing.
I know that's right.
If it wasn't free, it wasn't me. I'm worth 50, so we was going to talk a negotiation fee.
You a mess. Y'all a mess. A mess.
So what else you got, Plan Queen? I mean,
Well, you know, I have a Queen Aisha Woman of Ambition comedy tour that I do. We kick it off in March, and we do shows at comedy club, corporations. Last year, we were fortunate to do the World Bank in D.C., and this year we'll be doing the World Bank again. And just trying to be diversified and bringing female comedians from all walks of life. It's basically, the vision came to me when I did the Verizon commercial.
Right.
And it was called Realize Ambition. And I was like, this ambition is really sticking with me. It's like something I need to use it for. And that's when I created the Queen Aisha Women's of Ambition Comedy Tour. So we travel different places performing around the country, do colleges and all those types of things. So it starts, we normally kick it off in March, but it goes throughout the year. Also in the D.C. area, I have comedy nights, two comedy nights that I do. One is at Mayorga, and I do that. That's in Silver Spring, and that's every first Thursday. And then I do a third Thursday at Club Elite, and that's in the Oxon Hill, Fort Washington area of Maryland. So my people in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area, as they say, the M, what is it, the MD, M, wait a minute, what they call it, the DMV.
Yeah.
DMV, D.C., Maryland, Virginia, they can always get to see me. But, you know, I travel around the country. I go out. I was in England and Germany for 2 weeks in November performing for the military and natives. That was an awesome experience. I love to travel. Of course, you know, I love my military. I have a weak spot for the military. I've traveled
right.
over to Japan and South Korea several times. I have stamped my passport. I am planning to come to the A Hotlanta in the hot ass summer. I plan to be down y'all way.
Okay.
Yes, I plan to be down there because it's been about 2 years since I've been there.
Right.
I'm
right.
definitely coming this summer. We got big boy rounds. I'll be in Charlotte, North Carolina, on the 28th of this month at the Q Fret House. So I'm laughing with the cues. But you go to queenaisha.com, you can see my schedule. Queenaisha.com, myspace.com/QueenAisha, or comedian Queen Aisha. And all my information is there. You can hit me up on an email. When you come into my city, and I tell you, get in contact with a promoter or a comedy club and send the information to me as well, and I'll see what I can line up.
Queen Aisha, this
high
is
as hell. Yes, high as hell. This is what I do. So if you want me to come there, they're saying, I'm there.
Okay. Well, this is AC. Let me ask you this question. Okay,
mm-hmm.
You said you love, you've been over to Germany to entertain the troops.
Mm-hmm.
How did you go about lining that up? I mean, because, you know, when I was, I used to do, you know, little things in the music industry, and I was trying to line something up like that. And I'm just wondering, how did you go about lining that up?
Well, the way that came about is there's a gentleman who's actually dabbed in comedy a bit, but he's military. And what he did was when he was in the military, he used to put on shows. He's now out, but he was still put on events. So we had got in contact with each other some years ago, but we never worked together. And then, you know, people start hearing about people again, oh, you know, put this person on a show, and it came about again where we had the opportunity to work together. So that's how that came about. I set up shows in military bases myself several times where you just basically call, get the contact person, and let them know that you're interested in bringing a show through, present them with a proposal and things like that, and, you know, it can go from there. You have people, a lot of times with comedy, it's about word of mouth and really making those phone calls and networking, you know. So that's how it is. You know, all these websites, MySpace, having your own website, all of those things. I do email campaigns. I'm not yawning. It's just that my body is on a Denver time. So,
y'all.
No, I'm fine. I'm a tear the seat up on the train. Yeah. I'm going to have my head all up in the pillow part. No, I do email campaigns. Normally when I do a show, I go and I have an email book, a Queen Aisha email book, and I request email addresses from the audience. So what I do, Chaz, you know, I email you to death. I email you birth and death announcements. I email everything. And I just do that so people will know that if I'm coming to their city and they're interested in coming, they'll come out. But let's take it a step further. They'll also spread the word. Hey, I ain't out there, but let me forward it to such and such. You understand what I'm saying? And also what it does is it keeps my name out there, and that's very important. You know, that's very strong for marketing. You know, because if you ain't seen, you are forgotten.
When are you going to come out with a comedy CD, woman?
I have a comedy CD. It's Queen Aisha Live in Your Basement. And I have a DVD out now. It's Queen Aisha, Real Talk with Queen Aisha in Virginia Beach.
You can get that on your website?
No, you can. Actually, no. I'm sorry. Yes, you can. You can go to queenaisha.com and you send me an email request, or you can go to PayPal and you can do queen@queenaisha.com and you can purchase it from there and it'll get mailed out to you.
Well, I'm getting one.
You're supposed to come to the house party
so I can record you.
I know. You know, the thing about it is every time it's like, and this is what people understand with like comedy, it's like, it's a hustle.
Yeah. When they call, you got to be there.
Yeah, and it's about the hustle. So it's like, I normally when somebody says, I'm like, okay, I'll be there unless like Oprah called me. You know, but honestly, if it's something that's like major that comes up, I need to be a part of it, then I have to make that move. You know, but I am looking at October, because it's the middle of October that you do it, right? Or the beginning of October, the first Saturday or something?
It's the second one this time. It's right in conjunction with Columbus Day.
Okay.
So Columbus Day falls on the 13th, I think it is. So it's October
the
11th.
It's going to be a long weekend.
Saturday.
That's going to be a long weekend.
I always do it like that. But I'm glad you called, sleepyhead. And
oh, Lord, I apologize, y'all.
You're making me go to sleep, AC.
No,
my head is already on bend.
And you know, I love New York. Look, I love New York, but I'm in the airport, and I'm like, I just feel dirty because, you know, you touch everything. And
right.
You just subway. You know, in D.C., I trained a lot different than the trains here. I trained it very clean and carpeted, and there's no eating. I love New York, but, you know, I get spoiled by D.C. trains, and I drive a lot. So
right. That's
my story, and I'm sticking to it.
And again, tell us where you're going to be at your next performance.
You know, to make it easy, go to queenaisha.com, QueenAishah. I will be in Charlotte on March 28th, so all my Charlotte folks come out to the Q frat house. I don't know the address. Go to the website. Go to the damn website and stop harassing me. You get all the information right there. Chad,
well,
thank you so much for having me on. And
you know, I love you, sis.
I was so appreciative of you and your wife, Darlene, coming to the show. And my husband was like, baby, they came all the way here to see. I was like, yes. I said, that's love.
Yeah, for
that's
real.
And then when you cooked for me the first time I came to your house,
AC,
I almost got the itis. No, I did get the itis, but I had to keep myself and keep my composure because I hadn't met Darlene yet, and I didn't want her to find me sleeping in her house. And she's like, who is this heifer up on my couch with her shoes off? And, you know, I think the heel of my toe, the heel of my foot was ashy, and she'd have been really blown.
Look here, AC, she came to the house. I opened the door. They didn't get out the car, so I walked back in the kitchen. I left the door unlocked. Somebody honked the horn. I get outside. She talking about, it's my titties that hit the horn. I said, well, if your titties hit the horn still should be going off. Shit.
You are stupid.
Get off of me.
You stupid as hell.
But I love you to death, sis. Tell your husband I said what's up.
I will.
And make sure next time you come to the A, let me know like a week ahead of time so I'll know.
I will. I'll let you know sooner than that, unless it's some last minute something, but I sure will let you know. I'm about to go through here and look for something to eat. I mean, I got 20 minutes. I might as well eat.
All right, then, sweetie. You take care. Right. Love you.
Thank you. Love you back, AC. Thank you for calling in. Sorry you couldn't get
all right.
Some of your cousins from the project. To call in. They must be busy frying fish.
That's Queen Aisha, y'all.
All right, y'all.
Bye.
Good looking out. Peace.
Have a good
Thank
one.
You. Bye bye.
Well, AC, what's up, baby?
Oh, ain't nothing, man. You know what? I wanted to let her know, man. I'm going to be up in the D.C. area here in April, man. And I was going to go. I guess I can go to the website like she said.
No. I'll ask her, can AC have your number, and then you can call her.
Well, I mean, that's cool, but I mean, you know, I'll check her website out and, you know, and you know, just go from there, man. Because like I said, I'm planning to be up in the D.C. area, you know, in Virginia, should I say, and you know, that'll be something for me to do, you know, to go check her out, man. And that way she face, you know, face with the name.
Yeah, yeah. Because she's a funny lady, for real. Very funny. And I got to be ready for her every time.
Oh, yeah. Sound like you got to stay on your toes with that one.
Hell, yeah, you do. Yes, Lord. And your elbows.
Yeah.
And what I'm going to do, I'm going to play a couple comedians. This is a... And they are Caucasian brothers. This is Mitch Hedberg. And I'm going to play 10 minutes of him, see what you think of him, AC. Because I know you ain't heard this cat, but he's very funny to me. It's Mitch Hedberg on ATAZP Live, baby.
Please welcome Mitch Hedberg.
Thank you. Have they told you enough that we're recording a CD?
Yeah.
So you could pick it up and not recognize your laugh. You won't even want to buy it because you've already seen it. So this is not the target market. I have an old CD. See, this one will be in stores. The only way I could get my old CD into a store is if I would take one in and leave it. They say, sir, you forgot this. No, I did not. That is for sale. Please alphabetize it. Oh, man, I can't tell you what hotel I'm staying at, but there are two trees involved. They said, let's call this hotel something tree. So they had a meeting. It was quite short. Said, how about a tree? No, double tree. Hell yeah. Meeting adjourned. I had my heart set on quadruple tree. Well, we were almost there. I got a do not disturb sign on my hotel door. It says do not disturb. It's time to go with don't disturb. It's been do not for too long. We need to embrace the contraction. Don't disturb. Do not psychs you out. Do. All right, I get to disturb this guy. Not. Shit. I need to read faster. I like to wear do not disturb signs around my neck so that little kids can't tell me knock-knock jokes. Say, hey, how you doing, nephew? Knock-knock. Read the sign, punk. I met the girl who works at the DoubleTree front desk. She gave me her phone number. It's 0. I tried to call from here. Some other woman answered. I said, you sound older. My hotel doesn't have a 13th floor because of superstition. But come on, man. People on the 14th floor, you know what floor you're really on. What room are you in? 1401. No, you're not. Jump out the window. You will die earlier. Because 13 is an unlucky number, right? Well, then so should the letter B be, because B looks like a scrunched together 13. Hello, what is your name? Bob, get the fuck away! If 13 is unlucky, then 12 and 14 are guilty by association. I saw you 12, you were hanging out with 13. No, I wasn't, I was with 11. You talked to 14 about that shit. What you got to say, 14? Me divided by 2 equals 7? All right, I was with 13, shit. Maybe they can add some laughs to that joke. They say the recipe for Sprite is lemon and lime, but I tried to make it at home. There's more to it than the acting. Want some more homemade Sprite? Not till you figure out what the fuck else is in it. I like refried beans. That's why I want to try fried beans, because maybe they're just as good and we're wasting time. You don't have to fry them again after all. I eat a lot of sandwiches. Who doesn't, man? Sandwiches are easy to eat. But I hate sandwiches at New York delis. Too much fucking meat on the sandwich. It's like a cow with a cracker on either side. What would you like, sir? A pastrami sandwich. Anything else? Yeah, a loaf of bread and some other people? What kind of bread? Rye. No, fuck. Banana. You got banana bread? What kind of cheese? Cottage. Get the fuck out. I'm not making a banana bread pastrami cottage cheese sandwich. That will severely ruin my reputation. I order the club sandwich all the time, and I'm not even a member, man. I don't know how I get away with it. I like my sandwiches with three pieces of bread. So do I. Well, let's form a club then. Okay, but we need some more stipulations. Yes, we do. Instead of cutting the sandwich once, let's cut it again. Yes, four triangles. And we will position them into a circle. And in the middle, we will dump chips. Or a potato salad. Okay. Let me ask you a question. How do you feel about frilly toothpicks? I'm for 'em. Well, this club is for 'em. Spread the word on menus nationwide. I like my sandwiches with alfalfa sprouts. Well, then you're not in the fucking club. I went to a pizzeria, I ordered a slice of pizza. The fucker gave me the smallest slice possible. If the pizza was a pie chart for what people would do if they found $1 million, the fucker gave me the donate to charity slice. I would like to exchange this for the keep it. Gotta have a drink here. I saw this wino, he was eating grapes. He's like, dude, you have to wait. I like to drink red wine. This girl says, doesn't red wine give you a headache? Yeah, eventually. But the first and the middle part are amazing. I'm not going to stop doing something because of what happens at the end. Mitch, do you want an apple? No, eventually it'll be a core. I went to the store, bought 8 apples. The clerk said, do you want me to put them in a bag? I said, oh no, man, I juggle. But I can only juggle 8. If I'm ever here buying 9 apples, fucking bag them up. I saw a guy juggling chainsaws. It was cool, but unless something needed to be sawed down, then it's just annoying. It's like, come on, Rick, can we use one? Track number 5 will not be chainsaw juggling. It will be this one. I was going to have my teeth whitened, but then I said, fuck that, I'll just get a tan instead. I got some tartar control toothpaste. I still got tartar, but that's just under control. If the tartar gets out of line, I'm like, come on, man, you know the deal. Fall in. You crazy ass tartar. I got so much tartar, I don't have to dip my fish sticks in shit. That's actually kind of gross, you know. After that joke, I always clarify that I'm just joking. I don't know how much tartar I actually have. I believe it's the average amount. If we all did a tartar test right now, my name would be right in the fucking middle. I would like to go fishing and catch a fish stick. That would be convenient. I could easily get a job with Mrs. Paul. They just put me in a boat with some empty boxes. And I will return them to the freezer section of your neighborhood grocery store. You know, there's a fishing show on TV. They catch the fish, but they let it go. They don't want to eat the fish, but they do want to make it late for something. Where were you? I got caught! Bullshit, let me see the inside of your lip. Fish are always eating other fish. If fish could scream, the ocean would be loud as shit. You would not want to submerge your head. Nothing but fish going, ah, fuck. I thought I looked like that rock. I got 2 straws in here, in case one breaks down. You know, crazy straws, they go all over the place. These fucking straws are sane. They never lost their mind. They said, we're going straight to the mouth. That fucker who takes a while to get there, he's crazy. Vending machines are a big part of my life. I like when you reach into the vending machine to grab your candy bar. That flap goes up to block you from reaching up. That's a good invention. Before that, it was hard times for the vending machine owners. What candy bar are you getting? That one? And everyone on the bottom row? I want to make a vending machine that sells vending machines. It has to be real fucking big. I was going to get a candy bar. The button I was supposed to push was HH. So I went to the side. I found the H button. I pushed it twice. Fucking potato chips came out, man. Because they had an HH button, for Christ's sake. You need to let me know. I'm not familiar with the concept of HH. I did not learn my AABBCCs. God damn it, damn it.
Hey. This is Debra Bryant, R&B indie recording artist. Some heard of me, and if I have anything to do with it, many more will. Check out my underground hits, You're Good For Me and Unfaithful, on my Let You Tell It CD. It's available at CD Baby and TowerRecords.com. And of course, you can also listen to it right here, right now, with my man, the T to the A to the Z, another Taz Production online radio show.
AC is in the house, baby.
AC, you there, baby?
Yeah, I'm here, baby.
Hey, man, that was Debra Bryant. I do music for her. She's in New York. Matter of fact, she got a new single coming out on MySpace page, done by me.
Okay.
Yeah.
That comedian you played, man, that was pretty funny, man.
That dude is hilarious, cat.
Yeah, man, that was pretty funny, man.
Me and Ron L. listened to that cat one night. Ron L., his girlfriend, me and my wife, we went to his sister's birthday party when he was down here. I think he was down here the week before the house party. His sister had a birthday party, and we went to the party. And on the way back, we listened to that dude. He was like, I got to get a copy of that dude. He's bad, man. That dude just tell one-liners, bada bing, bada, no subject matter, just go straight for the joke all day long.
Yeah, exactly.
I know you was like, man, this cat is stupid.
Oh, man, he tripped me out when he was like, I know Fish, be like, God damn, I got caught. Yeah, I got caught. Where you been? I got caught. Look.
Yeah, he is stupid. Now, the next guy we're going to listen to had his own TV show. It was called Titus. His name is Christopher Titus. I'm going to tell the beginning because he said his father told him when he wanted to die, he wanted to be buried in a cardboard box and charge everybody at the door admission fee to the funeral. He wanted everybody that seen him at the funeral to pee on him. So, and he wanted to be cremated and put in a douche bottle so he could be ran back up a woman's stuff again one more time. So I'm telling you all this because he said this in a prior joke before this joke. And this is Christopher Titus, the funeral on ATAZP Live, baby.
So we all show up at my dad's house, and I'm the oldest kid, so I got to plan the funeral, and I don't want to do it by myself. So I take my brother and sister down to the funeral home, and my sister Shannon is sitting on my right, my brother Dave's on my left, and funerals make a lot of money because I'm sitting in front of an $8,000 mahogany desk. The guy's got a $3,000 suit, $85 haircut, perfect funeral guy, and he goes, Mr. Titus, we are so sorry for your loss. Did your father have any specific wishes on how he wanted to be buried? And I look at my sister, and before I can say a word, she goes, "You tell him." And the guy knew I had a TV show, so he showed me the most expensive caskets to make. The guy shows me a $17,000 platinum casket with a DVD player in it. Why? I'll tell you why. Because I went, what? In the little lid that they opened to view it, they put these a headrest monitor thing. It's a big one about this big, and you can play a tribute video to the person in the casket while they're laying in the casket. And all I can think is, my God, my family's going to so fight over that DVD player. And I said, that's nice. But my dad didn't want to be buried in something metal. Or wood. Do you have something corrugated? Pardon me, sir. Cardboardier. Excuse me, cardboard. My father said he wanted to be buried in a cardboard box, and the man had obviously never heard this sentence before because his face went into an epileptic seizure. Frankly, it looked like he tasted butt. And my brother Dave tries to help. My brother Dave goes, hey, not like a refrigerator box, something nice. And my sister loses, hit up cardboard. And you ever tell somebody something they didn't want to hear, so they decide you didn't say it? He pushes the expensive casket book aside, takes out the Walmart casket book, and starts flipping through that now. And I'm going, no, no, no. We get down to the cheapest casket you can buy, which is basically a slat crate with Home Depot burned in the side of it. And I got pissed. I said, look, my father said he wanted to be buried in a cardboard box. Then we'll talk about the cover charge. And he slams the book and he goes, fine. I can give you a rental casket. And my brother Dave says, who brought it back? Which is a genius question, by the way. But the guy gets the butt-tasting look on his face again. And he goes, no, we have casket for situations like these. Looking at me like, cheapest bastard in the world situation. The end of the casket opens up, you take your father, put him in a cardboard liner, slide him in and close the end on him. So now my dad's in this huge Pez dispenser. Great. And we had the funeral. My dad's best friend came up to me after and he said, Titus, that was the best or worst funeral I have ever been to. Because number one, it was packed to the wall, standing room only. We made about $2,200 in the door. And everyone got up and told an honest story about my dad. Not some bullshit, this was the greatest man ever. Here's one of the actual stories from my dad's funeral. They used to go houseboating with a bunch of firemen every year up in Northern California. And they'd get drunk all day and sleep on top of the houseboat at night. Well, at night, instead of using the head in the boat, they'd pee up the top of the boat. One night, my dad gets up 8 times, hammered, pees up the top of the boat. They all get up the next morning, look where my dad had been peeing. All night, my father had been peeing up the top of the houseboat into the driver's seat of his own boat. That's a beautiful story, isn't it, lady? It's great. It's like he's here right now, isn't it? And there was 10 of those stories. And so here was the funeral. Hysterical laughter, weeping. Hysterical laughter, weeping. And it was beautiful. And offensive. And perfect. And wrong. And then it was over. And everybody went home. And it was just me and my dad. So I peed on him. But now I'm freaked out because I got to find a hooker. And if I'm going to ask for the normal stuff, it's going to be weird. But I'm going to get out of the car in an alley, you know. I get the whole family getting behind me. Everybody's crying. I'm holding an urn and a douche bottle. Lola, is it? Yeah, we want something a little freaky. And I couldn't go through with it. I called my brother and sister. We had a no-douche meeting, whatever you want to call. And I said, no, we're not doing this. But we still want to honor my father, right? So here's what we did. We took half his ashes, spread them in various Victoria's Secret dressing rooms around the country. Took the rest of his ashes to Caesar's Palace in Lake Tahoe, Nevada. Because my dad was a huge gambler. He's one of those dads that had a little quarter jug. And when the jug got a top filled with quarters, he'd take his little jug to the casino, you know, and take like 10 grand out of the bank. And casinos have a lot of rules. One of the rules is do not spread your father's ashes amongst the casino patrons. So my brother, my sister, and I walk into Caesar's Palace, 7 p.m. Saturday evening. Pockets full of dad. And I walk straight to the back of the casino where they got that aisle that goes all the way across. And I start walking down and I start flipping out my father. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Ding, 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 ding. That saves a red light. And I get to the end of the aisle thinking I'm cool. Nobody saw. I look back. I'm leaving a contrail of smoke behind me like I'm a Jeep going across the Kalahari Desert. And the whole casino's kind of looking at me. And I have a TV show on the air at the time. Is that Titus? Is he on fire? What distracted everyone is my sister Shannon, who's way crazier than me. She takes a handful of my father, walks to a packed blackjack table, slaps her hands together, and goes, magic dust! And now there's a cloud. And the pit bosses start walking over, and I'm stuck to the carpet, man. This is the weirdest thing I've ever been involved in. I've been involved in some pretty weird shit. And I couldn't move. I was just frozen. I thought I was having a stroke because my heart was pounding. And all of a sudden, all sound went away. And all I could hear is my father hysterically laughing. And I felt him. And I knew he was there because the cloud settled. And parts of him dropped into people's drinks. He gave me a sign because the dealer was right in front of me, pulled a blackjack, and the whole table lost. Oh, my God, he's here right now. That's what happened to him every time.
That's Titus, man, Christopher Titus. Yo, AC.
Yeah.
That cat wild, boy.
Yeah, that was pretty hilarious. Yeah.
He walking around with his dad in his pocket.
Yeah.
Hey, but he killed me when he said I was all alone with my dad. It was just me and him. I peed on him.
Yeah.
That cat is ridiculous, man.
What about hearing this guy, PAG?
Man, I've seen this show. This show used to come on before Martin's did on Fox, if you remember. Remember his show? At the very end of his shows, he'd be in a basement with a light swinging, and he'll be talking, and the light will be swinging back and forth.
I can't remember right on back.
His show used to come on before Martin's show used to come on Fox.
Okay, I can't remember it right off back.
That's how I know about this cat. And when I seen the CD, it's a double CD. It's hilarious. This guy is very, very good. He's very. We listened to him when we were in D.C. Me and my wife, and my wife loved it. She said he is silly. I mean, very good. He's a good comedian, and his show was pretty funny too. It just got cut off. Didn't get enough ratings. Everybody's waiting on Martin to come on.
Oh man.
So
I can't recall his show right off bat, but I wish I had known about it then. And you know. You know, and I could, you know, just that, you know, CD there sounds like he's pretty hilarious guy.
He's stupid. And I took one of the best ones. I mean, there's some more on there. Like I said, it's a double CD. And his whole comedy tells a story all the way through. And that's why I had to give you the scenario of what happened before, because he tells the story all the way through. And at the very end, he actually says, he told his daughter three things he wanted her to know. He wanted her to know that America stands for good and people will fight for you and fight for something right, even though it don't seem like it every day. And number two, the most important thing to him was Tupac is still alive, but keep that on the DL because we don't want Suge to know. That kept heavy rolling, man. He's real stupid. I got another comedian. He played on, I think he was the other cat on Dumber and Dumber. His name is Jim Gaffigan. I know he's been on a couple of movies for sure because I've seen his face. And
right.
All he talks about all the way through his thing mainly is food. That's all he talks about, and I taped the main things that he said about food. This is Jim Gaffigan on ATAZP.
But really, we're a country that loves food. I mean, think about it. Once a week on the news, there's a piece on American obesity. They always show a big guy walk, and they'll block out his face, but that guy knows it's him. Well, that shirt looks familiar. Oh, crap. Can't wear that shirt again. Poor guy gets to work. Hey, Bill, saw your fat ass on the news. We're never satisfied when it comes to food. You know, be good on this burger? A ham sandwich. Instead of a bun, let's use two donuts. That way we can have it for breakfast. Look out, McGriddle. Here comes the donut ham hamburger. You guys laugh, but you know there's someone at Dunkin' Donuts going, that's not a bad idea. Then we could have a diet donut hamburger. Because we need the variety. How about some peanut butter recently? It was creamy, chunky, extra chunky, and now extreme chunky peanut butter. I bought the extreme chunky. I opened it up. It was just peanuts. That is extreme, trying to spread that stuff. This is radical! Those extreme products, you feel like a coward eating the regular stuff. Hey, check out that puss eating the regular Doritos. Can't handle the extreme ones. I'm working my way. You got served, sucker! That joke didn't even make sense. It's weird. We want our food fast, too, don't we? That's why we really love those value meals. Just have to say a number. Poo! Soon you won't have to speak, it'll just be a noise. All right, I'll supersize it. We need our food fast. That's the real appeal of Chinese food. You know? But Chinese food almost comes too quickly. You're like, yeah, I will have, oh, there it is. How'd you know I even wanted that? Fastest to prepare, slowest to eat. I prefer the Chinese restaurants that have the silverware on the table when you arrive, because there's nothing more humiliating than starting with chopsticks and having to turn to the waiter and be like, I'm too white. Do you have a shovel back there? Chopsticks are fun, but I'd rather eat than play Operation. Yeah. Lazy about our food. We have people deliver it to us.
Yeah, I like your food. Just not enough to go down there and get it.
Delivery is really a combination of my two favorite activities, eating and not moving. Worst part of delivery is getting up and answering the door. Oh, this is a pain in the ass. What am I, the butler? Well, at least I don't have to put on pants. Hand it over. We're getting lazier. It's just a matter of time. Yeah, I want delivery, and I'm going to need someone to feed me. No, I'll be in the tub. Yeah, key is under the mat. Tip, tap, tip. Chip Top Chip? I don't even know what Chip Top Chip is supposed to mean.
I'm not good at ordering delivery. I always think I'm ready. I never am. I always get that order panic. Delivery, what do you want? You got food there? Yes, we have food. What do you want? Let me write it down. I'll call you back. Oh, I wasn't ready for the trick questions. It's exciting when that delivery guy arrives, isn't it? It's like Santa coming to your house.
He's here. He's here. The guy's here. What do we do? What do we do?
But we don't treat him like Santa. We treat the situation like it's a hostage exchange.
Whoa, you're a weirdo. You wait out there. Here's the deal. I'll give you the money. You hand over the food. Then I want you to back away slowly. I don't need you casing the joint. That's ridiculous.
Here's something fun to do next time you get delivery. Treat the delivery guy like he's your waiter. Be like, hey, thanks a lot. Can you do something about the music in here? And I can go for some more ice water. Never know what to do with all those condiment packets they give you when you get delivery. They give you like 50 ketchups. Such a waste. My wife's always like, save them. Probably you can go up to a homeless guy. In case you get that food you're looking for, here's some ketchup. I'm looking out for you, buddy. It's ridiculous. It is convenient, though. We want our food easy. I mean, how else would you explain spray cheese? I mean, I'm lazy, but I guess there's some people that are like, you know, I like cheese, but it's just too much work. Tired of opening it up, taking it out. I'd be willing to eat cheese if I could do, I don't know, this. Here's the deal. I'll do this, and the cheese will spray out, and I could write my name with it. So I got to sign some checks to Mayor McCheese. And as you know, he only takes the cheese checks. I don't even know if that's accurate. I don't know much about Mayor McCheese, but I don't think he even takes checks. This guy's obsessed on food. I am. I try to rationalize what I eat, but there's some food there's no reason to ever eat. Like a Cinnabon. I mean, tell me that place isn't run by Satan. You ever eat a Cinnabon? You have to take a nap halfway through. Oh, I think I need some insulin. And a wheelbarrow for my half a bun. It's kind of generous calling that a bun. It's the size of a beanbag chair. Should I sit in it or eat it? Hey, I could sit in it and eat it. Oh, this is sticky without pants on. He has his pants off and a lot of jokes. How about that Cinnabon odor? You ever been walking through the mall? You're like, what's that smell? Oh, I just got a cavity. Damn Cinnabons. Tell you, I've done some humiliating things, but standing in that Cinnabon line is up there. Everyone's so filled with shame. No one's trying to make eye contact. I'm just here for the napkins. Not a pig like you guys. Because there's no reason to have a Cinnabon. I've tried to find one. Yeah. So I'm about to get on a plane. How about 8 pounds of cake? A little dessert on the go. That's one thing that's truly universal. We all love dessert. Yeah. You ever notice when you go out to dinner, there's always someone that wants to share dessert? Hey, you want to share a dessert? Let's share a dessert. Let's get your own damn dessert.
Oh, I just want to buy, just to buy.
And then dessert comes and they turn into a vacuum. Yeah, apparently it was a bite from a shovel.
Yeah, I have a bit of a sweet tooth.
No, you're a pig. But so am I. Takes one to know one. I do love our excuses. You know,
I have a sweet tooth.
Oh, so you're ordering it for your tooth. That's interesting. Because it's going straight to your ass. I think your ass owes your tooth an explanation. I mean, no one's ever really needed dessert.
Who was the first guy? I was like, that was a good meal we just had. I'm full. You full? Yeah. You want to eat a cake? Let's eat a cake. Let's eat till we throw up. Just keep going and going. We have dessert because it's special. It's always special dessert. I love when you go in a truck stop or a diner. They always have dessert in that rotating glass jewel case. Like it's some artifact or something. How's that supposed to work? You're like, yeah, I don't feel like dessert. But when I see pudding at that angle, I gotta get me some. My favorite dessert is cake. Yeah. Cake's a true symbol of gluttony, though. If you eat a whole pizza, people are like, wow, you were hungry. But if you eat a whole cake, people are like, you got a problem. Addicted to cake. It's not like drinking. You never hear someone brag, yeah, last night I had 4 pieces of cake. Why are you telling us? Just want you to know I partied. Why'd you get away from me? Because everyone knows cake's bad for us. Sometimes you try and disguise the fact we're eating cake. It's breakfast. I can't have cake. I'll have a muffin. You know the difference between a cake and a muffin? Nothing. A muffin is a bald cupcake. And we know it. Have you seen the mini muffins? How much denial are we in when we're eating mini muffins? Oh, I'm just going to have like 1 or 12. So small, they don't really count. They're like muffin vitamins. When I eat them, I feel like an astronaut. That's why I have them for breakfast. Can't have cake for breakfast. Unless it's a pancake. How'd that slide through? Young man, you're not having cake for breakfast. You're having fried cake with syrup for breakfast. Load up on that and try not to nap. Pancakes. Pancakes definitely make you lower your expectations. You're like, well, looks like I'm not showering today. I'm going to be digesting those carb cakes for hours. Bad idea. This guy talks a lot about cake. Cake's a powerful food. Cake can actually bring people together. It's Bill's birthday. Yeah, I hate that guy. It's cake in the conference room. Well, I should say hello. Yeah, how's it doing?
Yo, what's up, man? It's your boy, Shawn Maestro, you know what I'm saying? Representing Lightyear Productions, you know? Man, if you need some funk tracks, R&B, you know, urban, whatever you want, man, just hit up the maestro, you know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? Holla at your boy, man, 770-873-1893. Again, the number, 770-873-1893, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I'm with my boy, you know what I'm saying? T-A-Z, you know what I'm saying? I'm on A-T-A-Z-P, recorded live, man, for sure. Ah!
Lightyear Production, Joe Maestro, they performed at the first annual house party. They didn't come through on the second or the third. I think they're coming through on the fourth, so we're going to have them performing along with Kipper Jones, Rolanda 700, hopefully Caress will be in the house. That's Ron L., Jer Bear, Gina L., and Lissa. Hopefully all four of them will be in the house, hopefully. I'll be performing more than likely. I don't know yet because I'm running the show. Hopefully Queen Aisha will be there. Sparky D will be there. So we got some folks coming through, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, baby. For the first time, the AC will be coming through this year for the first time.
For the first time.
You're going to have a good time, boy. I'm going to make it a good time, baby.
Coming through, meeting all them crazy jokers because everybody in there is stupid. And that dude talking about cake was killing me, man.
Yeah, that was funny, man, when he said, what did he say about the bald-headed cupcake?
Yeah, a muffin. It's nothing but a muffin.
It ain't nothing but a bald-headed cupcake. That was funny. That was funny, right?
I could have kept on playing because he said something about that somebody decided to, you know, cake is the best dessert. I mean, what does girls jump out of? They don't jump out of pies. They jump out of cake.
Yeah.
He said, and then somebody was sitting there and had the crazy idea talking about, I'm tired of holding my drink and my cake at the same time. So they decided to make rum cake. So that's Jim Gaffigan. And I hope you enjoyed all the comedians that I put on. We're in the after the show right now. We're still recording, but it's after the show. And AC, you got anything you want to say, man?
Hey, man, I want to say it's been another joyful show, man. And I've enjoyed myself 110%, man. I enjoyed speaking with Queen Aisha, man.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
She's a hilarious person, man.
Yeah, yeah, she's wild. She's wild, all right. I'm going to play one more thing as I'm looking just to end this thing out. This is my cousin Manuel. Me and my cousin Manuel, we did a talk. And this is part two of the talk. Me and Manuel on the Z-View. Thanks, AC, for sitting in, man. I'll see you tomorrow morning bright and early. Well, you'll be bright and early. I'll be there.
Brother, all right,
yeah.
Man.
And this is me and my cousin Manuel in Steubenville, Ohio. Next week we won't be on, but I'll be on the following week after that. Z-Base, baby.
Hell no. You need to check your memory bank on what happened that night.
Well, I remember what happened that we ain't going to talk about on this show. But I don't remember what happened, but I thought we went.
Hell no.
I remember driving down there.
You might have.
At night.
No. I take that back. You couldn't have because there wasn't enough time.
No, it wasn't enough time. It was like, what time I got over your house? 11?
Mm-hmm.
Using bereavement. Thinking that she might have killed herself. That's what you had me thinking. So I called in because I was in the Army and I was looking for any reason not to go to work. So I bet my cousin, his wife left, and he don't know where she at. We don't know if she alive, she living. And they like, go on, go on. I was like, phew.
Come on. Ladies and gentlemen, let me take a break here and let you know. When he was in the military, he went to work when he felt like it.
No, I didn't. I had a regular job.
He showed up to my house talking about, well, I just went to formation and I came. Let's go do something.
Wait a minute. Check this out. Remember that day it was cold up there in Atlanta?
Uh-huh.
And we got stuck.
Yeah.
And your car was on the side. Your car was on the side of the road first. We always in the dead part. We up in the middle of the city, and your dang battery, your car started going low. He said, my battery going low. I said, what we going to do? Well, we going to try to go over here to this garage. We got there to the garage, and it was like they was turning the side around talking about clothes. We got there to the door. Please, help us! We need help! No, we closed. Damn! There you go. Come on, we're going to try to make it back to Columbus. I say, okay, we all the way in the middle of Atlanta. How much power you got? It's going down. It's going down because the battery meter was going down. Here I go. Turn off the radio. We don't need to listen to this shit. We driving down the road. Turn the heat off. I can breathe. Save the battery. Wait a minute. It was dark.
It was all
dark. It was dark outside. Turn the lights off. And you on your cell phone. Well, your car phone, it was back then.
Yeah.
Your car phone, you're talking about. Be advised, a white cougar driving down 85 with no lights.
No lights.
And then it just stopped. We had a little juice left. I called Phil. I said, Phil, you need to come get me. We get my car, come up here, we on 85, I don't know what exit we on, and what we're in between. You know what Bayo's car looks like? Come get me, your girl is cold. I just held on to cold.
Now mind you, this is the coldest night. It's one of the coldest nights in Atlanta.
It was the snow that night.
Oh, hell.
And you were sitting in the car talking about, we gonna die, we gonna die. I said, nigga, we ain't gonna die. I let you know, I slept in colder because I was in Alaska for all them years.
Yeah.
And then I was like, And we ain't gonna die on this night.
This is the Alaska man right here.
And I'm lucky I had my leather coat with me. Because all the damn died, I'm gonna die.
You usually don't wear no goddamn t-shirt, a half a t-shirt, that's what you walk around in.
Yeah, but I had a leather coat on trying to be cute. I figured, well, that's a little cold. I could wear this damn jacket tonight. I won't look foolish. I wore that jacket and with pride up to my neck, because we were
coming. Man, I got out, raised the hood. And then every time a Mack truck come, it was like a little bit closer to death.
Yeah.
It was coming and it was putting down icicles on your nose. It was cold as hell out there.
Phil came and got us. On the very next day, I came back, went to formation, and again came back to Manuel and said, let's go get your car.
You got up awake, I told you I'm getting up awake.
I know they were sick of you, because when you was in that, when you was in the middle ward, remember?
Yeah.
They were sick of me talking about, well, my cousin in the middle ward, I ain't coming to work today. I know they was like, damn your cousin. This bitch gets you up and work more times. Gets you up and work more times. But yeah, that was wild back then.
Oh man, there was all kind of things going on, all kind of different stuff.
I'm trying to think of some shit that happened here when we was at home.
Oh, no, you remember the riot at the mall?
Yeah, I remember that shit on Labor Day.
Yeah.
And that white dude hit Easy in the nose. Well, he started with Tommy and Easy.
Yeah, called him a nigger lover.
Yeah. So we walked outside. Well, we was outside already.
Yeah, and we were on our way out when it happened, when it started.
I was with Ronnie Lynn.
Now, hold up. This is like five little dark people and a half a white person with 99 white people.
And we was wearing them. Well, Richard was wearing them out because he was right there.
Yeah.
And they didn't come right after us. And me and Dennis chased Dennis Hudson. We chased the rest, at least two or three of them inside.
Yeah.
Right? And then the police came out there, and he was black. And the white dude was trying to swing out everybody black. He turned around and hit the police officer. Because he thought he was one of the niggas.
Yeah.
And then it stopped right there. That police, he went, oh, he started running. The police ran after him. And we hurried up and got in our cars. Because we didn't need no more police.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember when
we bricked the cops.
You did it.
Yeah. You remember that?
Yeah. Not a sport.
Yeah, that nigga talking about rollers. And all them bricks was flying. And we ran home. And everybody got on the phone and called each other. Then we started thinking, Richard at the end of the house. He usually walked back. Somebody got to tell him. Because he going to jail. He walked through here today. He was like, what are y'all doing? What y'all niggas doing? Don't walk home. Somebody go get him.
I remember Rodney Evans, Bobby Fields, and they was like, something happened a couple days before. And they said, well, let me hit this. Because they had to have the weed.
Rodney would let us home. Remember we used to go to the park and play basketball. Rodney was like 2 years older than us, 2 or 3 years older than us. He was like all district, all damn near all state, wasn't he?
Yeah, long as he had his weed.
He was good in basketball, so we played down the park, him and the older kids, and we were younger.
Yeah.
And we finally messed around. Now look, I guess they been beating us so long they just wasn't even trying. We fucked around and threw a damn shot up and won the game. This nigga was bad. It was what? It was 6 o'clock then. Well, nigga talking about, well, we gotta go home. Y'all ain't going home. I said, we going home now. We what? We going home. No, y'all can't go home. Remember they talked us back on the court. It's damn near dark out there. Niggas getting hit with balls in the head. Cause you can't see it. Until it came up on you.
Well, we used to play fucking 9-10 games a day.
Yeah, and it was begging us to stay. No, y'all can't leave now. And then we was beating them again. We was beating them again, man. And then it got too dark. We had to go home. They didn't want us to go home, though. They were mad as hell. I remember that was like the day we grew up. We could beat Rodney. Me and Rodney go back home. We beat Rodney there. I never seen him lose. Shoot, you know, when he was on your side, it'd just be you and him and three more sorry people. Y'all still gonna win? He come down there talking about icing on the cake. Icing on the cake. Clowning. You get on his face. He shoot that jump shot and go. It'd be running down the court. The ball still be in the air. You talking about clowning. And that jump be going in. I'd be like, hell no.
Now, what about William Walker and Jeff?
I missed that one.
These two brothers, right? Now, they brothers.
Jeff was the oldest.
Yeah, they playing against each other. And they fouled him. His brother fouled him. He said, man, you fouled me again, I'm going to kick your ass. And
that was William talking, the other one.
Yeah, got out of court, he fouled him. So he comes out of court, he mesmerized him. He fucking tore his head off. Next thing you know, they was down there scrapping. Like they didn't know each other.
Yeah. But Jeff beat him down, didn't he?
Oh, man. No!
I thought Jeff beat William down.
No, William kicked his ass. Jeff knew that karate shit, but William whooped his ass. That karate didn't help him none.
I missed that fight. Wait a minute. The famous fight down the park. I don't know if you was down there. When Barmer fought George Bridges.
Oh, no.
Did you go down there? Oh, man.